We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mark Childress in for Mark Sturgis today. Lots of baseball talk on a shortened version of Straight Up with Sturge. But first things first, here's your chance at some free money. It's the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. The keyword is arrow, A-R-R-O-W. Text the keyword to 72881. That's 72881. Good luck. The $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. Now up to 12 times per weekday, beginning at 7 a.m. And hey, before we were coming on the air here, Diesel, we were chit-chatting about C. Thomas Howell. That's a great get. He was on the huddle earlier today with Greg McKinney. And yeah, he's living the life. I want to live vicariously through Greg McKinney because he gets to sit out at Thornblade all day and do the huddle yesterday and today and talk to all these famous actors and athletes. And then Richmond Weaver got to play in the Pro-Am today. I'm even more jealous of him and can't wait to hear how his round went today. I think he teed off at 9:52 out at Furman today. But yeah, C. Thomas Howell. That's a blast from the past, but he's still getting work today. Great actor.
You know, I had a dream last night that I was trying to play golf. I got to the second hole, and like every single golf ball I had in my bag just like squished into jelly.
Okay.
Like, you know those squishy toys that when you squeeze, they pop out the sides?
Yeah.
Like that. Every one was like that. And then the rest of the dream was a quest to go find more golf balls. I don't know what I was dreaming. I promise you I was sober-ish when I went to bed.
So you got the Pro-Am on the brain,
I guess.
What it sounds like.
I guess.
Would you play, if they invited you to play, would you play?
Oh, totally.
Because I know you haven't been playing a ton of golf, you said. We talked about this
earlier. No, I haven't played a round of golf since I was about 15.
Okay.
But I'd go give it a shot. You know, whatever. Somebody's got to get the highest score in the tournament, and that could totally be me.
Well, when we talked to, you know, Richmond hung out with us a little bit last week, I said, you got to get on ESPN's top 10, either the best 10 plays of the week because you, like, hole out from the fairway, or you can go not top 10. Because you do something horribly embarrassing out there. I did see that the gold medal winning curler, did you see what he did today, Diesel? He had a putt. It looked like about a 20-foot putt on the green, so he went up to mark it. He marked it with his gold medal. He put his gold medal down and like the ribbon that it hangs around his neck on, and he left it there and made a big production about it. I thought that was great. So BMW Pro-Am, Charity Pro-Am, I think they're wrapped up from today. I was looking on the Pro-Am leaderboard to see if Richmond Weaver was in the top 15. It doesn't appear that he is, so he must be just outside of the top 15 of the tournament today. And I know they're thankful. They've got to be very, very pleased about the weather. I mean, when we were coming into the beginning part of this week, we saw a bunch of college baseball games get rained out earlier in the week. I was very worried, especially if it started raining and they started having to push things back today. It could become a nightmare on Friday and Saturday. I still think we got a lot of bad weather coming, but at least they got round one in the books without any drama from the rain. That's a really good thing.
Right, and we got to start thinking about this weekend as well because there's a lot more baseball games coming. You got the NASCAR All-Star Race Saturday night, and they are still expecting thunderstorms all day Saturday in the area. So, you know, we'll keep you posted when we find out what's happening with that.
Yeah, as far as today goes, it is going to be a short version of the show today. We'll be out of here at 5:30 for the Clemson baseball pregame show. And first pitch, Clemson versus Pittsburgh today, right around 6 o'clock. And the weather looks great up there right now, so I don't think we'll have any issues. And, of course, South Carolina playing on the road as well. So they picked the right weekend, it sounds like, to be out of town to avoid the weather. So kudos to both of them. Well, hey, first things first, I've been talking about this a lot. The Atlanta Braves, this may be the most fun that I've had watching the Atlanta Braves and that I can remember. They've got a great team full of young talent. Every night's exciting. They're in every game. They're not getting blown out. They've got the best record right now in the National League at 26-16. They've got a one-game lead in their division over the Phillies. They beat the Cubs last night 4-1, and they beat them in the kind of game that good baseball teams win. It was 1-1. Braves had gotten unlucky. There were a couple of fantastic catches made by the Cubs last night, including one that went up over the wall to rob Tyler Flowers of a home run. So the Braves hadn't been getting any breaks. They come up in the eighth inning, and the two youngest players in Major League Baseball, if you walked out of the room to get a beer and came back, you missed it. Ozzie Albies hits a triple into the gap, and it was either the first or second pitch to Ronald Acuna Jr., the youngest player in Major League Baseball, rips a single to left field to take the 2-1 lead, and then the Braves kind of scrapped through a weird inning with a lot of walks to take the lead 4-1, and then they hung on in the ninth. The Braves have four of the five youngest players in Major League Baseball on their roster right now. Ronald Acuna Jr., Ozzie Albies, Mike Soroka, and Luis Gohara. You know, Gohara's in the bullpen right now. Those are four of the five youngest in Major League Baseball. So a lot of fun. Super pumped about the Braves. So some news breaking today. Dansby Swanson, it appears that his wrist is better. He's been pulled off of the DL, and he's supposed to make a rehab assignment start with the Rome Braves this evening. So that means he's one step closer to being in Atlanta. And he's hoping to be back by the end of the homestand. So a couple of days. He might do two or three games down in Rome or Gwinnett, and then hopefully we'll see him back in Atlanta. Also, some news today on Mike Soroka. He complained a little bit about some shoulder soreness, so the Braves went ahead, precautionary move, put him on the 10-day DL. It's not expected to be serious. They're just giving him a little bit of extra time to rest. And they called up Max Fried today. So Max Fried will be making the start tonight against John Lester. Be keeping our eye on that one tonight as the Braves play. It's the third game of the series in Atlanta, but remember they did that makeup game in Chicago. So it's the end of this four-game series. The Braves have won two games. The Cubs have won one. Braves trying to come away with another win tonight. So we'll be keeping our eye on that. Before I go to college baseball, we got a couple of great guests today. I'm really excited about this. We're going to talk a lot of college football this afternoon. We have Bill Bender from the Sporting News. And Bill wrote a fantastic article. Go check it out, sportingnews.com. It's one of the lead articles on there where he talks about who are the teams that can legitimately compete for a national title in college football this year. And then who are the ones that could legitimately make the playoffs?
Is UCF on the list?
UCF's on the list.
Hey, now.
It is. So I like the way he's looking at it, right? I mean, he's got eight teams that he feels like could win a national title, and that seems about fair. And then there's 14 other teams that he feels like could make the playoffs. And then he's got some wild cards in there. So we'll have Bill in the next segment about 10 minutes from now. You want to stick around and listen to him. Then we've got Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel coming on at 5:05 today. And Matt has been hanging out at the ACC spring meetings for the last couple of days. And there's going to be plenty to talk about with him. Lots of news. He sat down with John Swofford and did a podcast with him. So he's got the latest news from that. The ACC proposed today, or they're going to propose to the NCAA, growing the NCAA basketball field from 68 teams to 72 teams. Why would you do that? Well, I know why, because they want more of their teams in the postseason. So the ACC is going to formally propose that. We'll talk about this a little bit more with Matt Mershell later. And then also they want to widen the lane and move the three-point lane back. A three-point line back. I don't think those are bad things. So we'll be talking to Matt about all of that. Again, he literally sat down with John Swofford yesterday. So we'll have the latest breaking news from that. So Bill Bender at 4:20, Matt Mershell at 5:05 today. Tons and tons of college football talk, as it should be. North Greenville baseball, they're hosting the Division II Southeast Regional, and that started today. Talk about, you know, keeping your eye on the weather, right? They'll be playing games all week. This is a loaded region. An absolutely loaded region. Five of the seven teams are ranked in the top 20 nationally that are coming here to Tigerville to play in this regional this weekend. North Greenville, of course, is at number 3. Georgia College is 6. Columbus State is 10. Belmont Abbey and UNC Pembroke come in at 15 and 17. Right now, the way the bracket lays out, as long as there's no weather problems, North Greenville will play their first game of the regional tomorrow against the winner of Columbus State and UNC Pembroke. First pitch in that game should be right around 3 o'clock. And then if they win that, they'd be scheduled to play again on Saturday evening around 7. This tournament goes all the way until Monday, and that's, again, weather permitting. You start getting behind in one of these baseball tournaments, and things could get mighty complicated mighty fast. So we'll be keeping our eye on this. Good luck to North Greenville tomorrow, as they'll be playing their first game in the Division II Baseball Championship Regional that they'll be hosting. So good luck to them and Coach Landon Powell. Talking about the Clemson Tigers, they are going to be playing versus Pittsburgh. So Tigers 40-13, 19-8 in the ACC. First pitch in the game tonight around 6. They've got an afternoon game tomorrow around 3. Pittsburgh is 27-22, 11-16 in the ACC. Overall series record between these two teams, Clemson leads 4-2. Spencer Strider is going this afternoon. Brooks Crawford and then Jake Higginbotham are scheduled for Friday and Saturday. Clemson's on an 8-game winning streak in the ACC regular season on the road. That is their longest road conference winning streak since they won 10 in a row back in 1994 and 1995. Also, first time in 12 seasons, Clemson has won 40 regular season games. They won 43 back in 2006. So some special things going on for the Tigers. Strider has been great. He leads the team in strikeouts, has allowed only 4 extra base hits and 1 home run all season. So good luck to the Tigers tonight. Also, good luck to the Gamecocks. They'll be playing at Bluebell Park in College Station, Texas, against Texas A&M. Gamecocks, of course, won 2 out of 3 against Missouri last weekend. They've won 4 SEC series in a row, looking to make it 5 now. And their midweek game against USC Upstate got canceled. The first ever meeting between these two schools was back in the 2011 College World Series. South Carolina won that. Gamecocks have a 7-4 overall series record against Texas A&M. And South Carolina, of course, 38 in the RPI right now, 12th best strength of schedule in the country. Logan Chapman, the freshman right-hander, will be going this evening starting at 7:30 for the Gamecocks. So a lot of
important local getting hot baseball at the right time.
It is. They're playing great right now.
And that's dangerous for everybody else who's matched up in their regional.
It is. And who knows, it could be Clemson. We'll see. So these are the last 3 games of the regular season in conference for both these teams. And conference tournaments get started next Tuesday. So plenty of college baseball to talk about. Also, plenty of college football to talk about. We'll be chatting with Bill Bender from the Sporting News coming up. We're going to talk some college football now. Mark Childress in for Mark Sturgis. Pleased to be welcoming Bill Bender from the Sporting News and to talk with us. Bill, thanks for joining us today, man. I love your article on sportingnews.com about the college football playoff and who you feel like the best title contenders are in 2018. I kind of want to bounce around and go conference by conference and let you break down everything for everyone, if that's okay. So you kind of break everything into different categories, national title contenders and then playoff contenders. So the Big Ten has got a lot of folks that you feel like could be in a postseason mix this year.
I think of all the conference, and all, and thanks for having me on, as always. How rude of me. They have the most playoff contenders, probably, especially when you look at 4 teams in the East between Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Michigan State, and then Wisconsin got a pretty good look at it in the West. And that's not even really including, I think, some teams that they have to get through, like Northwestern and then Scott Frost with Nebraska. It's the deepest conference, but as we found out last year, deepest conference, best conference, doesn't always guarantee a playoff bid.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. You've got as a national title legit contenders as Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Michigan. I could definitely see a path for all 3 of those guys. And then on the playoff contenders line, Penn State and Michigan State. So I think that's some good stuff there. So Big 12 and Pac-12, kind of same old in both of those conferences, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, with the Big 12, you're looking at Oklahoma and then everybody else. That's kind of been the MO the last 3 years. Teams like TCU could challenge feasibly. Maybe it's Texas, maybe it's West Virginia, but, you know, even you go as low as Iowa State, who beat Oklahoma last year. But I think it's just a case where I think Oklahoma is the best team. Same thing out West. I like Washington and Stanford challenge as possible playoff contenders, and I think UCLA might be a year or two away with Chip Kelly. But, you know, if there's a conference that I would say is the best bet to be locked out of the playoff, I would probably go Pac-12.
Talking with Bill Bender from the Sporting News and his article about the college football playoff, each conference's best title contenders in 2018. All right, so let's wander on over to the SEC. And I noticed that you had South Carolina on the wild cards line for the SEC. I'm in total agreement here.
Well, it's a good year for them to challenge. You know, I think you got an experienced quarterback in Jake Bentley. Will Muschamp's got a nice foundation. I think they can build off that bowl win against Michigan where they came back and won that game. And I don't know who else to pick as somebody to legitimately challenge Georgia. I mean, with Tennessee and Florida in coaching transitions, I don't think that'll happen overnight. South Carolina just seems like the best team in the East to take a run at Georgia.
I agree with you. I see South Carolina as a 10-win team this year. And if they could find a way against Georgia earlier in the season or find a way somehow against Clemson late in the season, it could end up being really special for them. And then, of course, you've got Alabama and Georgia from the SEC on the national title line, I guess, as you're ranking everything. No questions there, although Georgia's losing a lot. Any thoughts on the Dogs? And it just seems like they might be ripe to take a step back this year in my mind.
They're going to need leadership to step in. You know, they're going to need some guys to replace the Nick Chubbs, the Sonny Michel, the Roquan Smith, those guys that really set the standard for the program. I think they got some depth of recruiting, though. The running back stable is pretty good with guys like DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield. Jake Fromm's pretty good, too. So, again, it's not so much about Georgia. I think it's just about trying to find that team that's really going to challenge them. I think South Carolina, you bring up a nice point that they play early in the season. So, I mean, that you know, that's one of those games that could take people by surprise.
Talking with Bill Bender from the Sporting News. You can find him on Twitter at BillBender92. We're talking about each conference's best title contenders in 2018. No surprise that you have Clemson in on the ACC side. But as playoff contenders, you put both Miami and Florida State. So are you expecting a big, obviously, a step in the right direction for the Seminoles this year?
Well, they have to be better, I think. And I think with a healthy quarterback, once they get that figured out, Willie Taggart's really good with quarterbacks, too. You know, they get Clemson at home. They've got a tough schedule. I don't know. That's more on a talent basis. That Florida State always has the talent to compete for ACC championships. Same thing with Miami. The big question for them will be what did they learn from losing late in the season to Pitt and then getting drilled by Clemson in the ACC championship game. Clemson, it would be a very big surprise to me if anybody other than Clemson won the ACC. How can you not pick them? They have four first-rounders on the defensive line. They've got quarterback intrigue. They've got a bunch of guys that can run the football. They've got the running back depth between Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama is as good as I've seen.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. And Bill, you were talking about which conferences, you know, are the best top to bottom. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get in, and which conference is likely to be the conference left out this year. I just ran a quick search on how many appearances each conference has had. The SEC has had five so far, Alabama with four and Georgia with one. But you got the Pac-12 and the Big 12 so far in 4 years with only two appearances each. Do you think one of those two conferences is going to be the one that really sparks playoff expansion? I know that's a taboo topic we talk, but we have to bring it up every time.
Well, yeah, but I don't know that we need it right now. I think the playoff talk, as far as I'm concerned, may be coming more from like teams such as UCF, because to me, the last year, for example, I was talking about this earlier today. I put up a pool when Alabama or Ohio State ended up winning the Big Ten championship game. I said, who's in, Alabama or Ohio State? And it was 50-50. I'd rather argue about that than Miami and, you know, Penn State, teams that didn't even get, you know, either didn't show up in their conference championship or didn't make it to their conference championship. So I get where you're coming from, but I think right now 14 model is the best model.
I'm right there with you, Bill. And you had a couple on the playoff contenders line, I guess, when we get out of the Power Five conferences in the Group of Five and the independents. So, Diesel, as soon as I said you were coming on, what we were talking about, he's like, is UCF on the list? Does he think UCF can make it in the playoffs? You've got them as a playoff contender. Is that a remote possibility for 2018 that UCF could get over that hurdle and get the respect they felt like they didn't get last year?
Well, maybe I should ask Diesel, and I'll ask you the same question. So let me give you a hypothetical. If UCF goes 13-0, and they play FAU and North Carolina and Pitt in that American Athletic Conference schedule, if they go 13-0, do you put them in the playoff in the last spot, or do you put a one-loss Georgia that loses to Alabama badly in the SEC championship game? What do you think the committee would do?
I mean, I know exactly what the committee is going to do, but the whole point, and I've made this joke several times on the show, any national championship that systematically eliminates half of its member institutions before the season even starts is an illegitimate national championship. But, right, I know what you're going to say. The question is, should they at least have a shot? I mean, if you're eliminating them from the conversation before the season even starts, is that right? Is it fair? Doesn't matter because we know life isn't fair, but is it right?
Well, it's not. And that's why I say I think in that situation, the committee would probably take Georgia. But if UCF was on a, you know, what, 26 game win streak, and they beat the teams that they beat. I always use the example from 15. Houston, in my opinion, the year that they came off beating Florida State, they beat Oklahoma in the opener, and they beat Louisville later in the season. Had they gone undefeated, I think they would have got in the playoff over Washington. But they had some big non-conference wins to go with it. I think the more UCF barks, the more they're going to get attention, the more they win, this will get interesting. Because they are, in my mind, the best bet of the group of five to make another run.
At the same time, though, Bill, it is an unfair standard to force a team from a group of five level to go 26-0 to get into a national championship. I mean, how often do we say it's the best four teams right now? Well, that completely goes against the model of they got to win 26 in a row. They got to be the best team over the last 2 years to stand a chance.
Somebody told me, I went to a MAC school, so I went to Ohio University, and we play these hypothetical games quite a bit with some of my OU buddies. I said, would you take, as a MAC school, if somebody said, would you take 52 wins over 4 years and you're probably getting put on probation, would you take it? I said, yeah, because, I mean, if we're not going to get a chance to play for the national championship, why not take 50 wins, be dominant? Although, that's kind of just in jest saying that. I've seen Boise State do it. I've seen Marshall be dominant on the group of five level for several years with Bob Pruitt and Randy Moss and those teams. Now, in a perfect world, they'd get that opportunity, but I think the committee looks so much at those strength of schedule metrics and those top 25 wins and things like that, that UCF's going to not only have to win, they're going to have to blow some teams out. Like, they're going to have to blow out Florida Atlantic and Pitt, for example.
Wrapping up with Bill Bender from the Sporting News. You can check out his article, sportingnews.com, also on Twitter, at BillBender92. So, Bill, I saw that you guys rolled out the Sporting News college football predictions. Oklahoma and Alabama in the Orange Bowl, Clemson and Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. So, once again, a common thread running through the postseason teams again this year, at least according to you guys.
Yeah, and I got some blowback on Twitter about it, but, you know, way to go out on a limb and those kind of things. But, I mean, honestly, why climb up the tree? Because we know Alabama and Georgia are going to be very good. We know Clemson kind of has it's probably friendliest schedule yet. And then Ohio State's the most talented team, and I think Oklahoma may even have the easiest path of all those teams. So I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying I hope there are some surprises, and I hope those bull projections are wrong. Otherwise, it's not going to be the most exciting college football season, and people are going to gripe when it's Clemson, Alabama again. But in my mind, Clemson and Alabama are definitely the two most talented teams in the country.
If we get Clemson, Alabama 4, right, which I think you and I both agree is probably going to happen this year, and we get it in the national title game again this year, is the fatigue, is that the tipping point on the fatigue factor of having the same teams again and again? Or can you stretch it out one more season, especially if Clemson were to beat him again and say, all right, now it's 2-2?
Well, I think it'd be a combination of factors. I think that could be one, and I probably should go write this when I get off the phone with you. But see, you're creating more work for me. But
yeah, there you go.
Let me throw it to you this way. I'd start with, if that happens, if UCF goes unbeaten and gets denied, if the Big Ten's the best conference in the country again and they get denied, and something else funny happens, I'll have to figure that what that fourth thing is, then the cries will get even louder because you're having all these teams feel slighted that they belong. So let's say Ohio State goes 12-1 in the toughest conference in the country, and Washington goes 13-0 and goes ahead of them. that would be another thing to do it. So maybe, yeah, I definitely should get off the phone with you. not right now, but I mean, as soon as I do, see, like I said, you're just creating more work for the sporting news, but I like that question a lot.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Bill Bender. It's always a kick catching up with you. Love the college football insight. Love the articles. Go check them out on sportingnews.com. And I got the feeling this is going to be carrying over into the next segment for me and Diesel to talk about a little bit as well. So plenty more college football talk coming up. Also recapping the NBA. Diesel and I never stopped talking, discussing. We weren't arguing, discussing college football, because when we get a smart guy like Bill Bender on here,
sparks conversation.
It does. There's like 5,000 things running through our heads. So sure. Mark Childers here, and for Mark Sturgis, Diesel here with me as well. So I made the proposition to Diesel over the commercial break. Why doesn't the Group of Five? I gave two ideas, and he hated them both. One, why doesn't the Group of Five start their own playoff?
Absolutely not.
Since you're going to be left out anyway.
Self-segregation is never the answer. Again, if all of a sudden the Sun Belt, Conference USA, MAC, et cetera, all say, you know what, we're going to go have our playoff over here. Do you really think the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten is going to say, guys, we really want you to come back? No. Never going to happen. They're going to say, ha, 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 stupids, we wanted to get rid of you anyway, and you just did it to yourselves, throwing the middle finger in the air. Way to go, dummies.
Aren't you just taking what UCF just did and taking it to the extreme, though? You could crown a, quote, national champion every year. Hey, you're not letting us play in here. We're having our own national championship tournament because you won't let us be included in yours, and UCF wins their second back-to-back national championship. That's the direction that I'm going with it, which is basically making a mockery of the fact that their teams aren't ever going to be able to play anyway. A lot of people would watch.
And every Power Five football fan, conference coach, player, et cetera, says congratulations on your FCS national title. Doesn't mean anything. We don't care. Suck it. Go have your playoff.
UCF got under a lot of people's skin this year.
Well,
a lot.
The point is, I ask any Group of Five fan. They want to keep needling the Power Five and say, you're going to give us a spot. Mm-hmm. You're going to give us a spot. Otherwise, I mean, take your ball and play elsewhere. They never – this ain't the Sandlot. The kids with the good jerseys aren't going to show up and suddenly say, guess what? You can play on our field now.
But you're acting – I mean, you even support a Group of Five team. UCF took down Auburn last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because – I mean, I know that the talent level might not be – on par at all times, but some of these teams like UCF and Boise State and the Houston team that that Bill talked about in the last segment, those were legit teams that went in and took down one of the Power Five teams in a bowl game.
Houston crapping the bed the way they did that year really screwed the G5 and their shot at a spot in the playoff.
Yep.
Because Houston, that sets precedent.
But I don't know. So that was one. Then two was, what about like the soccer leagues do over in Europe? What if you had relegation? So if you're in last place in the SEC, you go down to one of the Group of Five conferences in football, and the winner of that Group of Five conference moves up into one of the Power Five conferences, which is exactly the way the English Premier League does it. They'll take the bottom three teams and they'll relegate them down to a lower league and pull three of those teams up. And if those teams can find a way to spend some more money, stay afloat, and stay in the Premier League, they get a lot more money. I mean, think about Appalachian State going and joining the ACC for a year and then finding a way to stay out of last place in the ACC for a couple of years. That could turn your program around. You get ACC money all of a sudden in the postseason. You do. What about relegation? For football, you're not sending the entire school down there, but for football, you're saying, hey, we'll send you down to the Sun Belt, Pitt, and hey, App State, you won the conference, come on up. And if you can keep on staying and find a way to stay in front of Syracuse the next season, then we'll send Syracuse down and bring whatever champion back up again. Why not something like that?
Also, absolutely not.
Okay.
Because
this is your chance, though.
Imagine,
I'm giving you two paths.
Okay, imagine.
For App State.
Okay, let's say we link two conferences together, and we can link it by general geographic footprint.
Okay.
Sun Belt generally shares a footprint with the SEC. Conference USA generally shares a footprint with the ACC, MAC and Big Ten, Mountain West, and the Pac-12. Do you really think Southern Cal is going to say, yeah, let's go play at Fresno State? Nope. You really think Alabama is going to say, yeah, we want a chance to go play at Troy? Nope.
How many people is Appalachian State going to put in the stands for an SEC team when they come?
Whatever the fire chief says,
how many
the code is?
30,000, 35,000?
35,000.
What is Vanderbilt pulling? Can't be more than 40 or 50.
Right. But
it's not that far of a
but
drop.
But they're okay with it because they've been playing – Alabama's been playing Vanderbilt for 100 years.
But Alabama would much rather play Vanderbilt than UCF or maybe even App State. I don't know. On the road.
Would Alabama rather go to the road? You could use the example of South Carolina and Coastal Carolina because, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Same conference, same state. Tell me how many South Carolina fans could get the horrible, stinky, poo-flavored taste out of their mouth for having to go play in Conway. There will be riots in the streets.
Clemson's going and playing in Syracuse and Boston College in front of 30,000 fans. What's the difference there and going and playing at Troy in front of the same amount of fans?
The point is, what can you get fans and donors, et cetera, to agree to? You can talk in theory all you want to, but do you really think the people who are laying down $500,000 every other year or every year to support South Carolina, to support Clemson, Florida, Alabama, do you think they're really going to tolerate all of a sudden, guess what, we're in the same conference as Troy and Coastal Carolina?
It's just for football, but I don't know.
But that's what makes it worse, because that's the sport they care about.
As a supporter of the Group of Five, you should want something like this, because this gives you the chance to lift you into a level in which you could make the playoffs. If Appalachian State got relegated up, you know, got promoted up to the ACC, hung out there a couple of years, started getting ACC-level recruits, and then won the ACC 6 years down the road, you're going to the playoffs, son. That's a path that's better than the one you have today, which is non-existent. Again, if anybody's got any thoughts on my incredibly great ideas.
Like it was your idea.
Yeah, no. Well, it's not my idea, but the ones that I'm at least supporting here in this segment. 844-GSP, ESPN. Man, we could talk college football all the time on here.
Imagine the competitive disadvantage. I don't care if they are a conference champion. App State, Georgia Southern,
Troy,
they've
been doing this in Europe for 50 years. They've been moving teams up and down every season.
Right, but you also have free agency where you can pay a guy to come to your team. You can't do that in football. You can't all of a sudden, if you're App State, pull a five-star guy, or a four-star guy who, let's just say it's Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Wake Forest has an awful season, and they get relegated down. But the best guy they got on their line is a four-star. Mm-hmm. It's not unheard of. It's uncommon for Wake Forest to get a four-star. I mean, what was it, 3 years ago, Houston got a five-star.
Yeah.
So let's say you're a Wake Forest and you've got a couple of four stars on your offensive line. Again, however unlikely.
I think it's possible.
You can't all of a sudden say, hey, App State, let's go get those four-star guys. You can't have them. Because now you're at a massive competitive disadvantage. I mean, look at the size of these guys who are on offensive and defensive lines. You got defensive linemen who play for Alabama that are damn near 400 pounds. And they're built like bricks. They're built like tanks. Biggest guy App State has on his roster is 295. That's the biggest one. And Alabama's got 10 of those guys.
But you're comparing a team coming up to the best teams in the conferences. So let's take Syracuse. What is the talent difference between Syracuse and UCF or Syracuse and Appalachian State? That's not that long of a walk. Or Syracuse and Wake Forest. And one of those teams. Or let's take Vanderbilt.
Right. Now, I don't know how they do it in the Premier League. I don't know if it's a you got to stink on a two-year, three-year rolling
it's one
average.
Year. If you're in the bottom three teams in the Premier League, you go down, and the three teams from the league below come up. This happens every season.
But what again, what happens as soon as – I'd be willing to bet. Like I said, I'm not a historian or a guy who knows the Premier League. I'd be willing to bet when a Premier League team goes down, they lose everybody they got because they can.
You got a choice to make at that point, right? Is how do I hold on to these guys? Do I continue to spend the money thinking that I'll be in the top three and go back up? And you bring up a really good point when you mention that colleges don't have the ability to move the money around that way. Again, I'm just trying to find a path that gives a group of five team the opportunity to prove themselves on a playoff level. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So we'll see what happens. Looks like the phones are lighting up. Doesn't surprise me. College football will get it going. So why don't we do this? We're going to get out to break. We'll take these calls right after the break. We'll keep on talking college football. Mark Childress in for Mark Sturgis. Diesel here as well. We still never stopped talking during the commercials. We're talking about relegation in college football, which I think would be interesting. Take the Power Five conferences, take the group of five conferences, the worst team in each Power Five conference goes down to the group of five, and the champion of the group of five moves up into the other conference. Lather, rinse, repeat, season after season. Let's get it going.
Question is, how are you going to get fans of Power Five schools to agree to it? And, well, it's not really what fans want. It's what university presidents and athletic directors and ADs, you know, et cetera, conference commissioners will agree to. How are you going to get them to agree to it?
If you're a fan of Wake Forest or Syracuse, is it going to get your school to spend more money to make sure they don't get relegated? Because some of these schools aren't ever more than – I mean, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest – you know, Syracuse, these aren't schools that are probably going to win their conferences anytime soon. So it might force their hand to figure out how to get there. So, hey, we've got Chris on the phones with us, wants to talk about relegation. Chris, where do you stand on this?
So in concept, I think it's a good idea in a perfect world. But the problem is like you guys were talking about before, there's no way, like in soccer, so my wife and I watch English soccer, we're big Liverpool fans, but you can't go out and spend $40 million on one player. So unless there's some incentive for these recruits to come to some of these schools, there's really no way that moving them up and down are going to work. If you take, for example, a few years ago, you had Appalachian State beat Michigan in the first game of the year. I mean, that's why there's recruiting and these teams play. So over time, you know, put a coach like Urban Meyer or, you know, one of these other big coaches, Dabo, and put them at a littler school, and I bet you they get those big recruits to come to those schools to start making a push towards getting into the system. My thing is that they need to expand the NCAA playoffs. So in my opinion, the Power Five conference champs make it automatically, and then there are should be three teams from whatever conference, for example, like UCF probably would have made it this year. So you have eight teams in the playoffs now.
That's the best. I mean, that's what everyone wants, it seems like.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple articles here. Everyone wants it except for the college football playoff.
I'm a big fan of the three conference champion, or the five Power Five conference champions, two at-larges, and one guaranteed spot for a group of five best champion.
The highest relegation is included in that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it does give you a clear path to get into the playoff.
Yeah, no doubt. So John wants to talk relegation in college football as well. John, where do you stand on this, bud?
I completely disagree. I do not think the Power Five deserve an opportunity at the playoff unless they award it with merit. And usually the Power Five does not have the merit nor the wins to deserve the spot.
Yep.
Excuse me, group of five. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And I think you made the point yourself when earlier asked about relegation, and you pointed out that the players at the Group of Five schools are physically inferior. They are not four-star athletes. They are not five-star athletes. They can overcome occasionally, and they can play well occasionally, but they are not the cream of the crop. So why are we asking the non-cream of the crop to play the cream of the crop? The idea of the bowl games is to have the best play the best, and the idea of the playoff is to have the best play the best. And if you yourself said that the Group of Five does not have the best athletes, why are we trying to make an argument of, you know, giving them opportunities that they probably most likely in almost every other season do not deserve? And I want y'all to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I hear you, John. You're making some good points there. But these teams are playing today. You know, Group of Five teams are playing Power Five teams 4 or 5 weeks a season. This is a regular occurrence.
Sure.
Georgia Southern is coming in to play Clemson this year.
Mm-hmm.
They are. So isn't, you know, the underdog, isn't the upstart, you know, UMBC, you know, like we had in college, college basketball. Isn't that what sports is all about, is having a team that could find a way to rise up? You wouldn't trade Syracuse for UCF in football in the ACC right now? Is that really that big of a change? Or Wake Forest? You wouldn't dump Wake Forest
right out
of the ACC in football for UCF?
I think the same general concept of the argument John just made every single time App State schedules a big school. We have Wisconsin on the schedule. We have North Carolina coming to Boone. We have South Carolina coming to Boone. And every good Group of Five hears the exact same argument every single time. Oh, well, there's all the upside for the small school because they make a lot of money and they could get a win, but there's all the downside for us. What if we lose? That to me sounds like a whole heck of a lot of fear. Well, we're afraid that we could lose, so we shouldn't schedule them, because you know what? It's not as embarrassing to lose to a Vanderbilt if you're North Carolina than it is if you're North Carolina to lose to Old Dominion. Losing to Old Dominion's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Losing to Vanderbilt, they're usually not that good, but at least they're P5. You know, I hear that argument every single time a major scheduling announcement is made. So I disagree with John on that. Well, they're inferior, so they shouldn't even have a shot. Because you're right. The underdog, the inferior athletes, they come up and win. What's one of the greatest moments in sports history? The Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
That's an underdog story. John, didn't you ever see the movie Dodgeball? It's called Dodgeball, an underdog story. That's a classic film.
It is.
So what a great Chuck Norris cameo.
Well, then why are you against it? Because it evens the playing field for everyone. If you are a team in the Group of Five, you legitimately, over the course of 3 to 5 years, could change the history of your program by finding a way to win the Group of Five,
right,
getting bumped up to one of the Power Five conferences, and then finding a way to hang on and make it.
So,
why not?
So a term that maybe is a little more palatable is annual realignment.
Okay.
We call it relegation, but it's really annual realignment. And we all know that there's a lot of SEC fans or Big 12 fans who would love to be able to kick Iowa State out and invite Houston in.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, we don't want to play them because we don't want another good Texas school because we're Texas and we're afraid they might steal some recruits. But as far as the overall quality of the conference goes, they don't want Iowa State. They want Houston.
Well, think about how much fun we were having 5 years ago when every day it was breaking news. Oh, Florida State's going to the SEC and this team's coming here. And everybody wanted it. So, I don't know. It's something we're talking about. And you know what? We can keep on talking about it because we've got Matt Michelle from the Orlando Sentinel, their national college football writer. He was down at the ACC meeting, so we want to hear about that. Or maybe we'll just completely sabotage him with this relegation talk right when he joins us. So he'll be on with us right after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.